Hello, beautiful people. This is your Fall 2021 AFM 491 podcast. My name is Sarah Oz. I'm your professor. Welcome to a new episode.
Hi everyone, welcome to a new episode. In this episode, I'm just going to summarize chapter 4, intercompany transactions. Then I'm going to ask you some simple questions from that chapter. So let's get started. In chapter 4, we started discussing intercompany transactions. These are the transactions that happen between the parent and subsidiary companies. So for instance, we discuss intercompany revenue and expenses. To ensure that consolidated financial statements reflect only transactions between the single entity and those outside the entity, all intercompany transactions are eliminated. The elimination of intercompany revenues and expenses does not affect the net income of this entity. Because we eliminate an equal amount from revenue and expense, therefore it cannot affect the amounts allocated to the two equities in the balance sheet. We also discuss intercompany profits and assets. Intercompany profits and assets are not recognized in the consolidated financial statements until the assets have been sold outside the group or consumed. The concept of realization as a result of consumption is also discussed as part of the depreciable assets. A transaction with an outside entity that is not associated with the consolidated group is referred to as an arm's length transaction. Revenue is recognized when it's earned in a transaction with an outsider in accordance with the revenue recognition principle. The cost of sales is expensed in the same period as the revenue in accordance with the matching principle. If the intercompany sales transactions are not eliminated, then sales and cost of sales would be overstated for the consolidated entity. The elimination entries are recorded on the consolidated working papers and not in the separate entity books of the parent and the subsidiary. This also means that consolidation entries are not actual entries that we see in the books of any of the parent or subsidiary companies. We also discuss about holdback of intercompany inventory and land profits. The elimination of unrealized intercompany profits and assets reduces the net income of the consolidated entity. The unrealized profit is always deducted from the selling company's income. For instance, unrealized profits on downstream transactions, these are the transactions that happen from the parent to the subsidiary, are deducted from the parent's separate entity income, whereas unrealized profits on upstream transactions, these are the transactions that happen from the subsidiary to the parent, are deducted from the subsidiary's separate entity income. Again, the profit is always deducted from the selling company's income. The unrealized profits are eliminated on the consolidated financial statements, and thus, by eliminating the unrealized profit, the assets such as the inventory, land, etc., is now stated at cost to the consolidated entity. However, note that the unrealized profits are not eliminated on the separate entity financial statements. Now let's talk about realization of intercompany inventory and land profits. When the assets that contain the intercompany profit are sold outside or consumed, the profit is considered realized and is reflected in the consolidated income statement. When the profits are realized, they are credited to the income of the original seller. The appropriate income tax is removed from the consolidated balance sheet and reflected as an expense in the income statement. The adjustments for income tax ensure that income tax expense is properly matched to income recognized on the consolidated income statement. Income tax should be expensed in the same period as revenue. And now let's talk about the elimination and realization of intercompany profits and losses in depreciable assets. The concept is actually pretty similar to what I just discussed. The only important difference is that the realization concept is a bit different than the realization of intercompany inventory profits. Essentially, in this case, there's no sale to outsiders, but there's only consumption. The gain is held back in order to state the depreciable asset at its undepreciated historical cost from a consolidated perspective. The intercompany profit is subsequently realized as the assets are used or consumed in generating revenues over the remaining life of the assets. because there are differences between the periods in which the tax is paid and the periods in which the gains are realized in the consolidated statements, income tax must be allocated as well. This is a short summary of what we discussed in Chapter 4, Intercompany Transactions. This is one of those chapters that you need to practice, which means you need to solve all the problems that I discussed in the lecture videos. This is the only way you're going to understand all these rules. This is the only way these rules are going to make sense to you. Now, I'm going to ask you some simple multiple choice questions covering the knowledge we learned in this chapter. So let's get started with the first question. Intercompany profits on sales of inventory are only realized A, once the seller receives payment for the sale, B, once the inventory has been sold to outsiders, C, when the inventory has been received by the purchaser. I'm just going to repeat the question as you are thinking about the answer. Intercompany profits on sales of inventory are only realized A, once the seller receives payment for the sale, B, once the inventory has been sold to outsider, C, when the inventory has been received by the purchaser. The answer is B, once the inventory has been sold to outsiders. Again, we are eliminating intercompany transactions as long as they are happening within the group. Once they happen with the outside world, then you can realize those profits. Next question. How would any management fees charged by a parent company to its subsidiary be accounted for during the consolidation process? A, the parent company would only record its pro rata share of any management revenues. B, the parent company's profits on the parent company's profit on the rendering of management services would be charged to retained earnings. C, both the parent's management fees and the subsidiary's related expense would be eliminated when preparing consolidated financial statements. I'll repeat the question. How would any management fees charged by a parent company to its subsidiary be accounted for during the consolidation process? A, the parent company would only record its pro rata share of any management revenues. B, the parent company's profit on the rendering of management services would be charged to retained earnings. And C, both the parent's management fees and the subsidiary's related expense would be eliminated when preparing consolidated financial statements. The answer to this question is C. You're going to eliminate both the management fees and the related expense on the parent and subsidiary's books. Okay, next question. Ditter Company owns 100% of the common shares of Franklin Limited. Ditter records its investment in Franklin using the cost method. Ditter and Franklin have transactions with each other. In preparing Ditter's consolidated financial statements, which of the following should be done? A, dividends received by Ditter from Franklin should be deducted from Ditter's dividend income. B, Franklin's retained earnings should be deducted from Ditter's retained earnings. And C, Ditter's receivable from Franklin should be netted with Ditter's accounts receivable. I will repeat the question. Ditter Company owns 100% of the common shares of Franklin Limited. Ditter records its investment in Franklin using the cost method. Both companies have transactions with each other. In preparing Ditter's consolidated financial statements, which of the following should be done? A, dividends received by Ditter from Franklin should be deducted from Ditter's dividend income. B, Franklin's retained earnings should be deducted from Ditter's retained earnings. And C, Ditter's receivable from Franklin should be netted with Ditter's account receivable. The answer to this question is A, dividends received by Ditter from Franklin should be deducted from Ditter's dividend income. And the last question. A basic approach in determining the adjustments needed for the consolidation of intercompany transactions is A, analyze the transfer events in the records of the legal entities and determine whether these transactions are for the current period. B, analyze the position from the group's perspective and adjust the consolidated statements of the group. C, consider the income tax effects of the adjustments. And D, all of the above. Again, I'll repeat the question. A basic approach in determining the adjustments needed for the consolidation of intercompany transactions is A, analyze the transfer events in the records of legal entities and determine whether these transactions are for the current period. B, B, analyze the position from the group's perspective and adjust the consolidated statements of the group. C, consider the income tax effects of the adjustments. And D, all of the above. Hopefully the answer is pretty clear. The answer is D, all of the above. So when you are dealing with the consolidation, you should be analyzing all the transactions, all the events from both legal entities, parent and the subsidiary. Determine which transactions belong to which time period. Also analyze the transaction from the group's perspective so that you can determine which transactions are being done with the outside entities. And then finally, you have to determine the income tax effects. These are only some of the steps, not all of the steps. So remember, this is a multiple choice question. But in this question, all of the above are valid. And this is the end of chapter 4 podcast. As I said, this is one of the difficult chapters to cover in a podcast. It's important that you actually sit down and solve the problems I solved in the lecture videos. Hopefully you are enjoying the course content so far. And I'll talk to you in chapter 5 podcast. Until then, be safe and keep accounting.